to be such a dominant aspect of my public life. Paragraph. As to my practice of the law, it was characterized primarily by my work in the courts. I early became, because I had such an extensive clerkship in the law, rather well versed in the practice and in the trial of cases. And in this period of my active practice, 1927 to 1941, that 14 years, I concentrated on the trial of cases. It was really the liquidation time of the Great Depression of 1929-32, and there was a great deal of litigation by way of the liability for breaches of fiduciary relation, which the banking world and the brokerage world had had toward many of the corporations in which the people invested enormous sums. And a great many of these scandals were unearthed, and some redress was obtained through the activities of what the Wall Street legal fraternity liked to describe as strike suitors, which would have included Javits and Javits, but which really was simply a public interest law as practiced at that time, and a very necessary process to recover ill-gotten gains, and to endeavor to purify the securities business, which ultimately culminated in the Securities and Exchange Commission and the reforms of the New Deal. I spent that 14 years very largely in the courts of the state of New York, the Supreme Court, the federal courts, and the courts of other states, notably Delaware, where many of these enterprises had been incorporated. And a sampling of a few of these cases will be an indication of my practice of the law. For one, representing security holders of Kroger and Toll in the early 30s, my law firm, with me as the operating court member, brought about the bankruptcy of Kroger and Toll in this country so that a trustee could be appointed to look into its affairs. And in that connection, my firm hired one of the most famous lawyers of all time, Samuel Unamire, to be the attorney for the petitioners in bankruptcy. And I sat at Mr. Unamire's side while he tried this case before a referee in bankruptcy. And I joined in the, and I did a lot of the legwork, which unearthed assets of Kroger and Toll, and this was the greatest scandal of its day, in the United States. This was a very critical a part of my early training as of expertise in the trial of cases, and also of the reputation for being competent and aggressive in the practice of law, and for working effectively to get results. Indeed, it was my brother, who was the head of the firm and the principal business getter and financial man of the firm, was able to show a great measure of success in his efforts because our firm was never shrank from joining issue in court. And this is an extremely effective means for getting results in the law, rather than the other course of trying to settle cases in order to avoid a court contest. Paragraph, another case of considerable importance in which I handled was the firm's representation of the preferred stockholders of the Standard Gas and Electric Company, one of the great utility companies of the country, which had been put together by a Chicago banking house named H.L. Bilsby and Company, B-Y-L-L-E-S-B-Y. The actions, stockholders' actions, which were then taken, and the ultimate the reorganization of the country in the federal district courts of Delaware, which ensued, the recoveries affected, resulted in enormous reestablishment of the values of the securities of the company, insofar as the class of stockholders which we represented, to wit the preferred stockholders, were concerned. Another case of comparable magnitude which engaged me in that whole interval was the General Investment Company, a company which had been organized by Kidder Peabody and Company, the Chase National Bank at that time, and other banking interests, and where again, as a result of a stockholder's action, where the company had lost practically everything, had practically no assets at all, when it was taken over, that is, control was taken over by a group of Boston young financiers named Smith and Henderson. At that point, my firm was already suing on behalf of stockholders to recover from the banks and brokerage firms who allegedly had looted the company through improvident actions. It was the last case I tried before going into the Army in November of 1941. It resulted in a $3.5 million recovery for the benefit of the company, which by that time had taken over the lawsuit with us continuing as lawyers, and the avails which resulted formed the basis for the company and the Messrs. Smith and Henderson going out early and during the war and acquiring hotels, which ultimately became the Sheraton Hotel chain. And the anomaly being that stockholders who had paid, say, $100 a share for their stock in the 1929 boom, who held it through the period when it was practically valueless, for the years which ensued until 1945 and thereafter, might have recovered a great part of their original investment through the effective utilization by the Smith brothers and Henderson in the hotel business of the recovery which my firm and the firm of Hayes, Podell, and Shulman had effected on behalf of stockholders. The next phase of my own activities, which I'd like to describe, relates to the Army. Now, here again is a separate career, and if the publisher believes that I should go into it in detail, I will, but I really do not believe that it represents a major element in how I finally developed as a public man, except that it was indicative of my deep feeling for the system of freedom in which World War II was the deciding factor probably in the history of the world. It was of special importance to me because it confounded the ideas and concepts which I had had for years as to the as to war. It was a war which simply had to be fought. There was just no other way. And I felt it was my war. And so very early in 1939, when the war started, I began my efforts to get into the war. I tried for the Air Force, but the then Secretary of the Army, so-and-so of Kansas, just didn't feel that he could do anything with me in the Air Force, as I was, he felt, too old at that time, being 35 years of age. I kept looking, however, and finally in the late 1940, or very early 1941, a friend of mine named Dick, that's his second name, who was then involved as a reserve officer with the Chemical Warfare Service, told me that the service, which was a small technical service in the Army, which was then kind of being refurbished and beginning to prepare for eventualities, was having great difficulty getting any kind of cooperation from suppliers or in the field of technology, and could use help as far as I was concerned. He then arranged for me to meet General Baker, who was the head of the service, at a cocktail party. I met General Baker and learned about his troubles, that is the service's troubles, in three areas, with the making of filter paper for gas masks, with the making of magnesium for incendiary bombs, and with the business administration of the service itself, which was then making its plans for very considerable expansion. General Baker, who was looking for help everywhere, invited me to see if I could help with these matters. And indeed, I found that I could. First, through the good officers of the Crown Zellbach Corporation, who were then the clients of my law firm of San Francisco, I had the paper made which he needed, a filter paper for gas masks. Secondly, I found that I had friends, namely Charlie Wilson, president of General Electric, who later became head of the War Production Board, who could be of help in the respect of the production and allocation of material which the Chemical Warfare Service needed. And as a result of these activities, General Baker invited me to become a consultant to the service, or I think it was, consultant to the service, which I then did. That caused me to go to Washington from time to time during the year 1941, and I became so involved in their activities, including incidentally as an element of it, meeting General Eisenhower, which was my first acquaintance with him. When the general was then chief of what's called G5, that is a strategy section of the Army. I think he was then then still a colonel, but he may have been a one-star general. And he and I took to each other immediately, and it was a friendship that lasted throughout the rest of his life as he became president, etc. In any case, General Baker invited me to come down on full-time duty with the Chemical Warfare Service. I was then engaged in the trial of a general investment case and also somewhat involved in the campaign of Fiorello LaGuardia, who was then running for re-election of mayor. So I arranged with the general to come down the day after Election Day of 1941. And indeed I did, and that was the beginning of my Army career.